Thank you for choosing to listen to our sermon podcast. My name is Chris Mitchell. I'm one of the pastors here at First Covenant Church of Anchorage. If you have any questions or prayer requests, feel free to stop by or send an email to office@anchoragefirstcovenant.com. God bless.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm always reminded of the pastor, Reverend Norman Barham, who was a pastor here in this church. And years ago, his office used to be held back there. And this was before I got saved. But his office was back there. And one night I wanted to go downtown 4th Avenue to do some drinking and some pot smoking and fooling around. I walked through the alley and I saw Reverend Barham up in his office, and I was broke. So I knocked on the door and he welcomed me in, and I asked him, "Hey, Reverend Barham, you got any extra money?" And he said, "No, I'm sorry, I don't." But that's how desperate I was to have some money so I can go down on 4th Avenue and party with the rest of the drunks and the dope dealers and everybody else. Years later, I ended up in prison, and that's when the jail was down here on 4th Avenue. And Reverend Norman Barham came by and he visited me while I was there. And he shared with me Isaiah 1:18. Even though your sins are like scarlet, they could be made white like snow. Even though they are red like crimson, they could be made like wool. And I confessed, yeah, my sins were of that color. And that he asked me if I'd like to be made white like snow and cleansed from my sin. And I said, yes. So he and I prayed, and I didn't see no lightning. I didn't hear no thunder. But several weeks later, or it might have been a couple of days later, I felt a profound washing on the inside. And I knew my sins were washed away. That's almost over 40 years ago that this happened. And ever since then, the good Lord has been faithful. We sang that song, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." He's been faithful to nurture me as a believer, disciple me, and cause me to grow. And eventually, one thing led to another, and by His mercy and grace, I stand before you as one of His pastors. I know that it's His doing and not mine, and I rejoice in Him. He alone is my righteousness, my peace, my joy, my strength, my life. And so it's a great honor for me to share with you the good news of Jesus Christ. And why don't we have a short prayer before we get into the message. Heavenly Father, you did promise that you would be a father to us. It's your word. And you did promise that we would be children to you. These are your words. And thank you, Father, for sending us your Son, your beloved Son, to become the sin that we all committed and was nailed to the cross, making atonement for our sin, and then rising the third day to show that His work was just and accepted by you, that whoever believes in Him will have forgiveness of sin. Thank you, Heavenly Father, and we rejoice to be able to speak of your goodness and your glory. Thank you for the Bible that has many, many stories of your love, of your grace, of your mercy. Help us now as we look into Paul's letter to Philemon years ago, and whatever we can benefit from it, we pray you'll enable us by your Spirit to do so. Again, we thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Everybody said, Amen. I love that idea that God is faithful. 2 years back, I was invited to go fishing out of Whittier on a boat. We were going to troll for some salmon, some rockfish, and we were out there in the ocean. I saw a wave, a huge whale jump in the distance. It was beautiful, but we were catching no fish. And the captain of the little boat, he said, "Hey, I remember one time when this Dominican man came up to Alaska and he wanted to go fishing. And I took him out in a boat to go fishing with us, and we weren't catching anything either. The wind started to blow and the rain started to fall. And you know how on some of the boats you got a little cabin, you go in to stay dry. But this Dominican, he stayed out there fishing. And the guys inside the little cabin, they heard him say this, "Lord, Lord, I come all the way from Dominican Republic, Lord, to catch some fish, Lord. Lord," and he's hollering through the storm, you know, "I want some fish, Lord." Well, they start catching fish. I said, "Hey, Don, did you tell that story because we're not catching any fish? Maybe we should try it." So half-heartedly, "Lord." Well, he caught one of those orange ones. I think that was a rockfish. I caught two small ones, about 8 inches. And the other guy, he caught one, about 8 inches. So I said that to say, isn't it great? We can follow somebody's example, you know. We pretty much had a tongue-in-cheek when we were asking the Lord for those fish. But, you know, I guess he honored that. So this morning, as we look at Paul's letter to Philemon, it's a short letter, as you already well know. It takes 3 minutes and 10 seconds to read. It's addressed to Philemon, but there are actually 14 other people involved in this short letter. And it's counting the Father and the Lord Jesus. But the other people involved in this short letter are Timothy and Archippus and Epaphras, Aristarchus, Luke, Philemon himself, Apphia, and the church that meets in Philemon's house. Don't know how many people were there in that particular church in Philemon's house, but Mark was there, so was Demas, Paul himself, and then, of course, Onesimus. And, boy, it's amazing how you can find all 14 of these people in this short letter. Let's take a read. And as we read this letter, it's always my hope and prayer that the Spirit of the Lord will take what is here and apply one of the few things, few principles that are found in this letter to your life. It might be a little bit different from Onesimus, but we'll trust that the Lord will take his word and apply it to your life. So, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of everything good we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he would take your place in helping me well while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you would not you do would not seem forced but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So, if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. Not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, perhaps a guest, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. As I was thinking about this letter and what Paul was asking Philemon to do in reference to the slave gone bad, Onesimus, I thought, well, there's got to be a reason. There's got to be a bottom line why Christians do good and are encouraged to do good. There's got to be a reason. And I believe, in my own humble opinion, that the apostolic prayer Paul makes, written here in his letter to Philemon, is key. After all, don't you think that Paul had much prayer before he penned this letter to Philemon? I believe he did. Here's his prayer in verses 4 through 6, as it is found in the New American Standard Version. I will also be reading it from the New English Translation and the NIV, so we can concentrate a little more clearly on exactly what kind of prayer the apostle is making for his friend Philemon. I thank my God, verses 4 through 6, always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. Let's listen to this prayer from the New English Translation. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that the faith you share with us may deepen your understanding of every blessing that belongs to you in Christ. Now let's put a little more concentration of this prayer of Paul's for Philemon by reading it again from the NIV. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. James says the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So, in other words, as I was thinking about this, I thought Paul was saying to Philemon, Philemon, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers. Why? For two reasons. Number one, I hear about your love for God's holy people. Reason number two, I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus. Philemon, this is exciting and encouraging to me as I sit in this dark cell in Rome eating flour soup. Maybe he didn't eat flour soup. I never had flour soup until I went to the village of Ilum. And I didn't know that back in the day, this native people were so poor, the only thing they could make soup out of was flour. Is that right, Isabel? Some of you older native people know that. So, to Paul, this is exciting and encouraging to him. You really do love the children of God, and you have active faith in Jesus our Lord, Philemon. And I thank God for these, brother. My prayers has compounded for you in two ways. And in this second way, I also ask that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your own understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Philemon, increase in Christ even more. Go deeper in him. You already show your love. You have crucial faith in Jesus just as we do. Hallelujah. Didn't John the Baptist say about Jesus, he must increase and I must decrease? It is here at this juncture, at this point in time, as Philemon reads of this prayer of Paul's, that he might have thought to himself, wow, this is deep stuff. I need a little time to think about the gravity and the meaning of Paul's prayers for me. And as a result, he turns to his other slaves and says, hey, take Philemon downstairs to the cellar for now and hold him there while I grasp how Paul is praying to God for me. I mean, I had to go over this prayer a dozen times before I started catching on, you know. And I'm thinking Philemon, well, he's probably a pretty bright guy, you know, but might have taken him only, you know, six times. But nevertheless, I'm sure he had to ponder over this prayer that Paul was making. So as we today look at Paul's prayer here in Philemon, what can we glean? What can we find useful for us and the church body? Well, as we've come to know each other, whether in a short time or more extended periods, we become aware of the love fellow believers have for one another. And we've come to see people's faith in Christ sparked and come to life, right? Well, I remember when my wife and I were floundering around in our sin and we were still attending this church, and a wonderful lady that would come to our apartment, our house, at least once a week and bring us soup and leave it at the door because she knew we were hungover. What love. What encouragement. And there has been a lot of this in this Covenant Church throughout the years. Many, many people have expressed their love for each other and have encouraged one another. And as if this isn't enough, we have seen believers' faith grow deeper in Christ as they learn more and more in understanding every good thing Christ offers to us. Things we also share with one another, whether it be in the Wednesday Women's Bible Study, or the Wednesday Night Bible Study, or the Men's Coffee Time on Wednesday morning. Picnics at Goose Lake, camping out in Chickaloon, and so on and so forth. We have so much good things in Christ that he offers us. Praise God and thank him continually for his mercy, love, and grace still at work in our midst today. We are his temple. He dwells in our midst by his Spirit. You are his dwelling place. Philemon, well, now let's say that the next morning, after Philemon had a good night's rest, and Onesimus, maybe not so good, because back in his day, slaves were in a terrible way. Aristotle said that slaves were like a tool. They were inanimate. So this is how much worth that people had of slaves in that day. So Onesimus, who stole from Philemon and ran away, probably didn't get a good night's sleep wondering if Philemon is going to have him put to death because he could. It was his right. And so when the morning came, Philemon gathered the little church together that met at his house and read this letter to all of them. Philemon had taken to heart Paul's description of what Onesimus meant to him. Paul described the slave, my child, as my child, my heart. Isn't that amazing that he could describe someone like this as his child and his heart? Have we ever felt this kind of affection in the Christian faith for someone? Paul said to Philemon, treat him as you would treat me. He is no longer useless, but now is actually living up to his name, useful, since that's what Onesimus means, useful. Jesus made a change in Onesimus. Isn't that awesome? Jesus makes a change in people who are not useful anymore. People who are useless. Jesus makes a change in them and makes them useful. The Orthodox Christianity go on to say that after Timothy passed away as bishop of the church in Ephesus, guess who became his successor? Onesimus. So, like many of us in life today, we too have, like Onesimus, done things that mark us as thieves, as blunderers, as irresponsible, violators of the moral law, for all have sinned and fall short. Wouldn't you say all of us are guilty before God of one or more sins? The name, as I've mentioned, Onesimus means useful, but he had made his name useless when he wronged Philemon and ran away. However, praise God, when Onesimus had an encounter with Paul, Paul led him to faith in Christ. As a result, Onesimus was forgiven of his sins, cleansed, washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Onesimus became a changed man through the redeeming work of Christ's death and resurrection. This is amazing. Even after being in the faith for some 40 plus years, the thought last week that occurred to me was this great thought. I was buried and I passed on into the resurrected life of Christ. This is Paul's theology in Romans 6. I was buried with him in baptism and raised to new life. So I went from from dying in Christ into a living, resurrected status with him. And so did Onesimus. Paul testifies to this and said of him in verse 11, formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. Has your personal sins, your blunders, your wrongs made you feel useless? Have you, like Onesimus, offended someone? The glorious thing about being converted to Jesus is that he gives us a clear starting point and empowers us to make amends. Jesus changes us from darkness to light. He regenerates us so that we are no longer children of Adam, but children of the Most High. The Jameson Fawcett Brown Bible commentary on verse 6 of Philemon says this. Paul never ceases to mention Philemon in his prayers. In order that his faith may still further show its power in his relation to others, by exhibiting every grace which is in Christians to the glory of Christ. Thus, he paves the way for the request in behalf of Onesimus. The prayers first, they paved the way for reconciliation. Reconciliation with others mirrors the reconciliation we have with God, because in reconciliation with God, we are empowered to be reconciled with each other. Reconciliation simply means to make friends out of enemies. Are you reconciled to God? Oh, the joy of reconciliation with God. In the crucifixion of his Son, our sins were lost. What is found is our soul reconciled to God by Jesus' death. You may be a Christian and that you may have sinned so many times, you're tired of sinning and you don't know how to get over your sin, and you feel that you are not reconciled to God anymore because of your continuous sinning. But hear this, you are not reconciled to God because you quit sinning. There's liberty in this. You and we are reconciled to God because Jesus died on the cross. That takes the load off our shoulders and off our backs. It makes us easier to be obedient to Christ. Finally, let's take a look at two verses. The first one is Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9, since we now have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, well, we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received the reconciliation. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though once we regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You have the righteousness of Christ. He is our righteousness. He took upon himself all of our sin, nailed it to the cross, and gave us his clean slate because we believe what God has done through him. This is reconciliation with God. If you are not, we invite you after church to either come to me or Pastor, and pray with us for this reconciliation, and you'll find that after this reconciliation is effective inside you, it empowers you to be reconciled with others that you may have offended or those that have offended you. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this short letter that Paul wrote to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus. We thank you, Jesus, that like Paul, you are our advocate. Thank you, Lord, that you have come into the world and made reconciliation between us and God. Help us now, Lord, if anyone is not reconciled to you and would love to be, we pray that your Spirit would draw them. And after being reconciled with you or to you, it becomes much easier to be reconciled with the ones that have offended us or the ones that we have offended ourselves. Again, thank you, Lord, for this word. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray and give you the glory. Amen.